Chairman Brad Holton, I'll bring the meeting to order. Present is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek. We have a 1:30 agenda item, meeting to update on 2025 property tax reduction, the PTRs. So with that, I'd hand it over to the assessor and go from there.
Chairman Holton, Commissioners, so I just wanted to kind of recap what has went on this year for the 2025 annual rural PTR reduction. PTR is commonly known as the circuit breaker in the past. It's called Property Tax Reduction Program. There's two parts to it. There's a veterans, if you're 100% paid at 100% disability, then you are eligible for a $1,500 tax reduction funded by the State Tax Commission through sales tax revenue. And there's no income limits to that one. The second phase is the regular PTR program, and 65 and older, if you make less than $37,810 in 2025, and then subtracting your medical expenses to get lower from that, there's a prorated benefit that is paid from the state. The max you can receive on that one is $1,500, and you can get both. So kind of a recap how it goes. My team, from about February till April 15th, April 15th is a hard deadline. We assist the State Tax Commission. We receive a bunch of applications, a bunch being, this year was 4,130 applications. Some of those are online, but a bulk of them are in office. In the past, once that program was rolled out online, I thought we would see a reduction in walk-in traffic. And a couple of years ago, we went to 2 5-month temp positions instead of a full-time. And we've since undone that in this budget cycle, and I'm very thankful that you guys allowed that to happen, because our number is still above 4,000 applicants, right?
Okay.
Out of that 4,100 applicants, 289 were not approved, and 3,841 applications were approved. Of those, there was 2,935 that were regular PTR, and there was 737 veterans programs applicants that were approved, and then 169 of that received both. And so how this works, we do all those applications, and then we toss it over to the State Tax Commission. They start reviewing it, and then we go about our normal business, mailing out assessment notices with new values and everything. And then down the road, budgets are done. The treasurer starts a tax drive, and then we get a report from the State Tax Commission, and the world stops. Once we get to step 30 and then along to step 52 in the process, and the treasurer's office has gotten so far along, and then the second floor of the admin building gets super hot because we're all working as fast as we can, as diligently as we can, and we're doing precise calculations to make sure everybody gets the right credit that they're supposed to do. During that time, we use IT extensively, and I am grateful for their resources. I wish Director Rast was here, or COO Rast, because we're very much appreciative of their assistance. We really bug them a lot during that week. We overlay the test database a bunch, and it's frustrating for them, I'm sure. It is with us, too. And then after that, the treasurer keeps going and gets tax bills done. So for about a week straight, nothing happens on the tax drive until we get done, which is Steve can speak to that as well. So my group does the application collection and cleanup once we get that list. And then we kick it over to the treasurer's office, and we'll let Steve explain what they do.
Mr. Chairman, before we do that,
yes.
What are some reasons why you would have 289 disallowed?
Chairman Holton, Commissioner Brooks, over the income limit. Sometimes people from one year to the next, their income will go up or down. Larger medical bills, not. Sometimes they apply and we don't get all the income information. So once, and the state has access to different systems that we do, like their income income that they report. Sometimes, a couple years ago, there was legislation ran that I believe it was 100, if your house value was over 150% of the county median, it trimmed it off. You weren't eligible anymore. Now it's, I think it's either 200 or 250. So we're, there's very few that are being trimmed off because okay. their house is
people, sometimes people get the concept that a portion of their income is not, can't be counted against it, and it is. That's a very common one I run into.
And there's some income that is counted and there's some that's not, so it's pretty tricky. But that's, and we have, I believe we almost have the same amount of applicants as Ada County, and they're, you know, double our size, so it's pretty impressive how many applications that our team handles in a year. This is one of, this is their second biggest function that they handle.
So I have a curiosity question. It isn't prejudicial. Can you determine if a percentage of these are new to Canyon County that have just moved in?
Chairman Holton, I'm sure I could find that out, but I don't know that number off the top of my head.
Do you have an impression or?
I don't handle these day to day, so I.
You don't? Okay.
Just the ones that I deal with are, there's 30, typically 20 to 30 of these that are really challenging.
Yeah.
That I talked about earlier, using IT to overlay databases. That's the ones I'm involved with.
Okay.
Yeah, of the 4,100, I
don't know.
I'm sure there's some, yeah.
Yeah, I was just curious. Okay.
Okay, all right, Steve.
Chairman, commissioners, I think Brian did a fantastic job of explaining it. If you, PTR, the only thing that I would add to what he was saying is that time when it gets real hot and everything stops, there's a statute that says that, that a report must be sent to the State Tax Commission by the fourth Monday in October, and that statute is met, but then all the changes come back from the State Tax Commission, and that's the 2 weeks or sometimes even 3 weeks that we're at a standstill trying to make sure that all the property tax reduction roll is accurate and in the system before we can move on, before we can apply advance payments and do adjustments, do anything to the tax bills. But if you have any questions regarding PTR, I'd be more than happy to answer those. But I think Brian did a great job of explaining.
I don't have any questions.
We're going to receive $3.68 million from the State Tax Commission to help pay citizens of Canyon County their tax bills.
Their portion.
Yeah. It's a good program for us.
And good. We're still mailing out tax notices to people that had all of their property taxes paid. So we have had several phone calls this year with, I'm not understanding my tax bill. It says I don't owe anything. The reason why is they could, because of the PTR credit.
Gotcha.
Very good. No questions?
Mm-mm, I don't have any, Chairman. Thank you.
Oh, I want to ask a question, but not on the record. So there you go. It would have to do with our esteemed legislature. So we'll save that for another day. I'm very appreciative of the program. I think that I'm personally unaware of any abuse of it, and I'm sure it could happen, but it is not the norm, and I think it's a good circuit breaker type of program that we've got ourselves into via the legislature, and I'm glad for a lot of the people that get this relief. They dearly need it, so. It's a good thing. All right, do we need an approval from you, or are you just giving us the report by statute that you have to do?
We're, so the treasurer's office and my office, jointly, we accomplish this task throughout the year, and then at the end of the year, we compile a report, and the clerk gets to sign it and send it in.
Well, he's good for something.
So we just wanted to come and recap this for you, and just keep you all apprised of the situation.
Yeah, that's good.
Do you anticipate any changes to it in the upcoming session?
I personally don't.
Not on the annual roll, but the subsequent roll, that will be
additional. Was that your question? Sorry, Mr. Chairman.
I don't know. I haven't heard whether they might increase the amounts. I know that there's, I think they increased it as part of 389, but then it, as the assessor mentioned, they added that home value test, which was new. So it eliminated some people. It was kind of taking with one hand, but increasing for those who would qualify. But I think there was concern from the legislature that people in their million-dollar mansions
right.
might get assistance because they could meet the income test but have a million-dollar mansion hypothetically and get their property taxes paid. So they realized that I think it was 125 initially. So if a house was 25% above the median, they were kicked off, and that was a rude that was a rude notification for people who, some of their homes here in Canyon. And I think as the assessor mentioned, I remember doing the research, we have a disproportionately higher percentage of participants in Canyon County compared to Ada County when you do a percentage of population
sure.
mix. So, but yeah, but it'll be interesting because it's 1500. Is that, that's set by the legislature, right? What that limit is.
Yeah.
But any increase to that, of course, would have to be drawn out of, you know, their distribution. So I don't know if the state's going to, I don't know how often they increase it. You would probably know, Brian. They visit every 5 years. Or every.
This is the third change since I can remember.
Wow.
Yeah, it was it was 1,200, then 1,320, and then 1,500 from what I can remember in time off the top of my head.
So I'm just saying, this is why I bring up often my fixed income retired widow who lives in a paid for house. So we just have been told we are disproportionately much greater than Ada County in that sector of the population. So it makes me even more tenacious to make sure she's not helping pay for other people's things that she didn't need to.
Well, it makes sense because I'm assuming the disproportionality is essentially from the skyrocketing increase in home values, and income level hasn't matched it.
No, it has not matched.
So,
Chairman, Commissioners, the income limits for 2026 each year it's kind of indexed up. And I'm not sure what a calculator method is, but next year it'll be $39,130 will be the cap, up from the $37,810 of this year. So that number
is incrementing up, but still it's just chump change.
Yeah, yep.
And then they did, you can speak to it recently, was it 3-4 years ago, for the veteran disability, they would have to apply every year.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think Senator Adams brought the bill to make it to where you don't have to prove you're disabled every year. Once you prove your 100% disability rating, they're just automatically, they just carry over.
That was a good change.
Yeah.
All right.
I think we have one other item real quick, the update on certified levy rates. Because yes. there was some slight adjustments to a few, and I think I'd defer to Steve.
Okay.
To give that report out.
Thank you. Chairman, Commissioners, the state got back to us with our certified levy rates, and there was 4 changes that were made. Melba Fire, Greenleaf Cemetery, and Middleton Cemetery District, they did not meet compliance, SCO, compliance for the Transparent Idaho, and because they did not meet it, they could not increase the amount that they levied by the 3% or the new construction. They had to levy what they levied last year. We don't have any control over that. I think the state monitors that what they're qualifying or they're disqualifying. So we're supposed to act as normal, and I believe the state gives them up until the first part of August to become certified.
Right.
And if not, then they're stuck with what they levied the prior year.
Right.
Notice School District, this was an interesting case. As we're all aware, no voter-approved funds paid to an urban renewal district. And I know we've heard that several times. Notice School District, they are the first ones in the state to be in an urban renewal district and have a CASA levy. So CASA levy is voter-approved, but it is not listed in statute as being exempt from urban renewal. So Notice School District's CASA levy will collect revenue for the Caldwell North revenue allocation area. And so you're seeing an increase, a slight increase to their levy rate for that. And those were all the changes. Out of our 61 taxing districts that we certified, those were the only changes.
That's incredible, really, because some of those 61 entities, it's very difficult to get those people together to get a decision.
Is that 3% that those entities could not increase, is that basically gone forever? They can't make it up at some future budget?
Chairman, once they become certified through the SCO, then they're able to increase their budget. But for this year, no, it's gone. They cannot increase it for tax year 2025, though. If they become certified in 2026, then they'll be able to increase the 3% in 2026.
But the compounding effect of 3% on 3%, that's out.
It's gone.
Yeah,
it's gone.
Okay. That's kind of painful when that 3% is not a very big number.
This is also a relatively new thing. I want to say 4 or 5 years where you have the transparency legislation passed. And so the state legislature wants all of us to take it seriously. So this is their stick. Their other stick is they withhold the state sales tax revenue share until someone comes in compliance. So these entities aren't getting their quarterly distribution from the state, and they're not able to raise their levy. But they still are able to levy, but stuck at the last amount. So some of these entities might be okay with it. So I don't know. Maybe the stick doesn't feel much like a stick because maybe they're really small and they have enough money to fund their needs and they don't care. But I don't know. It seems like if you're missing the state shared revenue and you can't raise your budget, it would give you an incentive to get in compliance.
Mm-hmm.
The other challenge, and there has been some pushback, I know we're coming close to two, but you know the reporting requirements to the controller's office has been received as onerous by some entities, and so there's been some feedback, some give and take, but they continue to refine that process. But if you haven't been to the transparency website, the intent is to have that one-stop shop where you can look up any budget. And you can look up their fund balance, you can look up the salaries for every employee within that entity, and all of that is a one-stop shop. So I know the legislature, it was part of their property tax, it was one of the ideas that came out of their property tax committee from 5 years ago, because they felt that more sunshine on how we spend money itself would be a deterrence to frivolous spending. So that was one of the stated intents behind it. But I mean, transparency is always good, period.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, but I think, as Steve mentioned, we didn't do anything wrong to send it up based on the L2, because at the end of the day, the state has to be like, nope, they're out of compliance, and it goes back down. So.
Yeah, true story. Fascinating how the state can use Transparent Idaho, but they can't figure out that we could all post our public notices and everything else on a site.
It's a great
We're still
point,
working
Mr.
on
Chairman.
That.
Great it's, point.
Yeah.
That might be a next year.
Yeah, it might be a next year.
It's coming.
Or next.
It's coming.
Or next. Okay, anything else? Thank you for the report.
Thank you.
Been very informative. Thank you.
8 seconds.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adjourn this portion of our day.
I second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Let's be in recess till for another 5 minutes or so. Thank you.
Thank you.